right. Well, hey, I'm going to try to cheer you up. We, as Dr. Shelton just said, we are just a couple days away from 20 years old. All right. And so as exciting as that is, we were thinking, you know, this is something to celebrate. Most churches that plant don't make it past 2 years. And then 5 years is the deadline. I mean, only a small percentage of churches make it past that. I don't know how many make it to 20. So it is actually a miraculous thing that God's done in our church. And we're so excited to celebrate that. And so as we were talking about it as elders and we were praying about what to do, how do you celebrate something like this? My first idea was that everybody bring me presents. And then we prayed about that for a nanosecond and decided that wasn't right. And then we said, well, what better way to celebrate a church than by being the church? And so, as you know, our vision is to grow, go together. And so Dr. Shelton was just telling you, Rusty was just telling you about next week, we're going to work with First Refuge, and we're going to go. We're going to spend a Saturday together as a church family serving in ministry. And I'm going to hand out water and cheer for my wife, and he's going to bring his dogs and have wiener races, wiener dog races, and it's going to be a fun afternoon or morning, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. We're also going to have an exciting list of things you can do in your neighborhood to serve people. We're going to spend our week going to the people that Jesus told us to go to and love. And then on April 14th, together, so it's grow, go, together, April 14th, we're going to have lunch after church. We're going to celebrate our birthday. We're going to have Michael Hydock and Steve Hovenitz cook for us. While we're in here studying the Word of God, they're going to be cooking for us. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be, but it's going to be amazing. And we're going to have birthday cake, and we're going to celebrate 20 years together. This Sunday is grow. And so our emphasis this week is grow. So when you came in, you should have received one of these little handouts. And take a minute to look at that. What we have done, because our goal is to, as a church, is to help you grow spiritually in your relationship with the Lord. We've discovered this resource that we have now are going to use to invest in your spiritual growth. It's called rightnowmedia.org. And you can think of it this way. It is like the Netflix of spiritual growth or Bible study. So on this website, it's a library filled with 20,000. Well, there's different things. So 18,000 is one I read. They just said 20,000. It's growing every minute, apparently. Now, there's 20,000 resources in there. Some of them are amazing. Some of them not as amazing. But you can go in there, and it's got everything from Bible studies related to personal growth, to parenting, to marriage, to finances. There's a huge kids section, and there's a youth section. There's a section for recovery. There's all kinds of things. Anything you might need as a spiritual growth tool, Bible study or something, it's on there. And you can use it for your own life, for your family. You can use it in your small groups. And so, like, recently this week, as I was messing around looking through it, I really enjoyed a Tim Tebow video that was encouraging to men. And then my wife's in the middle of a Francis Chan Gospel of Mark Bible study that she's doing every morning. And so these are now all available to you. So today you're going to get an email at noon. I don't know why at noon, but that's like the super secret time. And at noon, you're all going to get an email, and it's going to have a code where you can go on, where you hit the link, and you can go on, and you can type in that code. You set up your account, username, and all of that kind of stuff. And now for the next entire year, you have access to all of those 20,000 pieces of material. And also, you can give it, you can give that, you can invite others to join it. So you meet somebody and you're talking to them and you're ministering to them and you think this would benefit them, you can give it away. And so this is just one resource that we're going to use for the next year. We can do Bible studies together. Who knows what we can do? It's going to be great. So you can also read on here. There's a QR code. There's you can text to that number, and you can add it to your phone. You can add it to all these different media outlets, your computer, your phone, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be great. So that's your happy birthday present. Pardon? Well, if you, that's a good question. If you don't have, we don't have your email, we can't send it to you at noon. So we need your email today. Last week, we there was a, on the information sheet on the back of our membership covenant. If you brought that today, did anybody do their homework from last week and bring that back? Okay, three people. So proud of you. Some of you turned it in last week. If you didn't turn it in today, if we got your email address, if we don't have your email address and you're not a member of the church but you still want to be a part of this, email us. So on your bulletin, it gives our general email address, info@newlifedenton.org. Just email us your info or your email address, and then we'll get it to you. Does that answer that question? Any other questions that I missed? Nope. Okay. What's that? Yeah. Okay. Hey, you got your Discover book. So we were doing this growth track. This is our on-ramp to life and ministry at New Life Church. Last week we talked about membership and how you could be a member, and I'm just really excited some of you came back. So that's a good sign. I haven't scared you off yet. Today we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about the way God made you and why he made you the way he did. So 1785 was the year. There was a man who was a philosopher, scientist. His name was William Paley. And he gave a story. He told a story about a man who was walking through a forest who stumbled upon a pocket watch. Now, 1785, right? So a pocket watch is a new invention at that time. It's a newfangled thing. And he comes across this thing, and he doesn't know what it is. So he begins to, he picks it up, he looks at it, he begins to examine it closely. He opens up the back. He sees the crystal front. He sees the second hand, the minute hand, the hour hand. He opens it up in the back, and he sees all the gears and levers and pins. And he begins to ponder this thing's existence. He's not sure what it is. And so he's not sure what it's for, but he can obviously tell that it is pretty significant. It's a complex piece of something. And so he begins to wonder how it got there. Maybe all of the parts just fell from the sky and somehow came into this thing, and this thing was made or was a being. Or maybe it was the work of a designer. Maybe it had an engineer and someone who manufactured it and put it all together. Well, Paley used that argument when he was arguing for the existence of a divine creator. It's called teleology, if you're interested in it. It means working backwards, starting with an end. You see the result and then work back. How did we get to that result? And his argument was this world, like the watch. A watch is so complex, so many moving parts, and they all have to move together or in order for it to work. Something that complex doesn't just appear. It has to be created. There has to be thought put into it, a design behind it, and someone to make it. And he says the same is true with this world. This world is a complex system. There are so many things that are just the way they are. If we're any closer to the sun, we burn up. Any further from the sun, we freeze. If things don't work just right, then we're all in trouble. And yet they all do work just right. And so his argument is something that complex doesn't just fall from the sky. It doesn't just evolve. It has a design. It has a creator. Well, I was thinking about that watchmaker analogy today or this week because it works perfectly to describe you. Let's say you're the watch. Okay, you're beautiful, you're complex, you're intricate, you're very useful if you know what you're made for. And like the watch, you didn't just fall from the sky, you know, miraculously. You are a miracle, okay? You are a miracle, but you didn't just fall from the sky. You were designed, you were engineered, you were put together the way God wanted you to be. And it wasn't dumb luck that you're here today. Your Creator made you in His image. You're a masterpiece of craftsmanship. Now, perhaps, the most important thing is that you were created for a purpose. You weren't just created and then kind of rolled out there to be on your own. But you were created for a reason. And so that is really the, you know, existential question that has plagued mankind from the very beginning. Why am I here? What is my purpose for existence? What's my reason for being? And so that's the question at the heart of this growth track session that we call Discover, session number two. So we're going to spend some time this morning talking about you and talking about me. So you and I, we're a complex system that God created. Now, part of that is that we're a sum of a combination of several different things. First of all, we're a combination of our design, the way God created us. He gave us spiritual gifts, and He gave us passions in life. And we're going to talk about that today. So I have certain spiritual gifts. You have certain spiritual gifts. They're different, and they're not the same. I have things that I'm passionate about. You have things that you're passionate about. Sometimes, never the twain shall meet. I'm not passionate about what you're passionate about, and vice versa. But isn't it great how God pulled us all together and put us in this great melting pot called the church? And so we have different gifts and different passions that can help us reach more people. If we all had the same gift and the same passion, we'd be after only one type of person, wouldn't we, with the gospel? But since God gave us all of these differences within us, now we're after the community. We're after everybody. And so we've got those things. We're a combination of that. We're also a combination of our life experience. I'm 50 years old this year. I have learned a lot in life. Sometimes I learn things because I do what James told me to do, and I ask for wisdom, and God shows me. Yeah, well, most of the time I learn because I pay a hefty tuition fee at the School of Hard Knocks. And you probably do too. You've learned some valuable lessons you don't want to relearn, right? And so we are a combination of who God created us to be, but also some of these lessons that we've learned through life, but also through some of the difficulties we've gone through. Some of the most important lessons we'll ever learn come from our pain. And C.S. Lewis, who said, we can ignore pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. And it's a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Okay, so all of those things, the lessons you've learned, the wins, the losses, the pains you've been through, your gifts and your personality, all those things combine to make you, you. And when we get all of those things mixed together, what we have is a remarkable person. The beginnings of a remarkable person, the makings of a remarkable person, when that person would submit to God and follow God. And so this is what the way the psalmist described it. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that word workmanship, that Greek word, can equally be translated as masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God's already got those works prepared for you to do. So our goal today is what I was describing earlier is teleology, a little bit of reverse engineering. We're going to start at the end, and we're going to open up the back of the watch and discover what it is that makes you and me tick. And our goals are to discover spiritual gifts, eventually to grow and develop those spiritual gifts. We're on page 3, by the way, if you're filling these in. And then number 3, to use those gifts. Because listen, It doesn't matter if you've got a great spiritual gift if you don't use it. It really doesn't. For the kingdom, anyway. So our goal ultimately is to use our gifts, because that last part there, my purpose is to serve God by serving others. That's our goal, is to serve God by serving others, by using our gifts so that we could live in the purpose that God's created. So if you turn to page 4, what you will see is a personality test. And so we're going to start by talking about our personalities. Okay, I'm reminded of the story of a little boy that was going from house to house. This was many years ago, and he was collecting bottles so that he could turn those in and get refunds. A lot of y'all don't even remember when they did that. They've since created GoFundMe, so you don't have to actually go earn money. People just give it to you. But back then, you would go mow yards and stuff like that. Well, anyway, he's going and collecting bottles, and he goes to the house of the lady in town that was known to be the town grump. And he hesitantly knocks on the door, and she answers the door, and he says, "Hello, ma'am. I'm collecting bottles for redemption. Do you have any old Coke bottles?" And she said, "No." And he says, "Well, okay, ma'am, do you have any old whiskey bottles?" And she says, "Young man, do I look like the type of person that would have whiskey bottles in here?" And so he looked her up and down for a minute and thought about it and said, "Ma'am, do you have any old vinegar bottles?" So when you answer these questions on page 4, you will find out whether you're a Coke, whiskey, or vinegar girl. And what it actually will do is it'll place you in a category, and we've, in order to make it easier to understand, instead of numbers or letters all those times, we've given them a designation of an animal that everybody understands. So a lion is kind of a leader, a go-getter. An otter is fun-loving and bounces around and wants to play and wants to be in relationship with everybody. A golden retriever is quiet and stable and very loyal. A beaver is behind the scenes, working all the time, always doing something. So those are the 4 different types of animals, and you're one of them, all right? And so when you discover, and you can read about them later on page 6 and 7, but here's the thing. Each personality type has a strength and a weakness, or strengths and weaknesses. And here's the value in knowing that. First of all, because it helps us balance our lives. When we know what our strengths are and we know what our weaknesses are, we can play to our strengths, we can pray for our weaknesses, and we can balance ourselves out instead of always the highs and the lows. Also helps us with conflict. When we know how we typically might respond to something, and we can pray through the tension in that, or when we are going to talk to a lion, and we know how lions typically respond, and we can pray about that. And so ultimately, it'll help us to grow as individuals. I think one of the things that that made Jesus so wonderful, set him apart as a human, was his balanced personality. When you read about him throughout the Gospels, he gets angry, but he's not always angry. He tells jokes, but he's not always silly. He's not controlling. He functions with people all the time, and he's not controlling. He's not manipulative. He's not too assertive. He's not too passive. He's not too routine. He's not too reserved or too stressed or too laid back. He's a great model of emotional health. He's balanced. And so, okay, page 4, here's what you're going to do this week. You're going to have a cup of coffee. That's important. You're going to set aside some time where you're undisturbed. And then you're going to go through and honestly answer these questions on page 4. And then you add up the scores. And on page 5, you put a dot in the number section in the corresponding column on page 5 here. And so you connect those dots, and you'll see where you're strongest and where you're weakest. Okay, well, that's mine, and it's sideways, sorry. But you can see that I'm high lion, and then I'm low otter. I used to be higher otter. I used to be fun. But I'm very loyal, and I'm pretty busy. So, you know, either that is what I was talking about with Jesus, a real balanced personality, or that's very boring. I don't know. I'm trying to decide. It looks pretty boring. That's kind of like a straight line. So y'all pray for my wife. But that's who I am. And so that is who I am. And I want you to know that when we talk about personalities, there's no right or wrong personality. I mean, your personality is your personality. Now, there's right and wrong ways to live and respond to people, but there's no right or wrong personality. God made your personality the way he wants it, and he uses all different types of personality. We already talked about how great it is to have a melting pot in the church with all the different types of people. And so God feels the same way. That's why he gives us different personalities, and we're not always the same. Paul was a lion. Peter was an otter. Moses was a beaver, and Abraham was a golden retriever. That sounds really weird. If somebody just walked in at that moment, they turned around and walked out. That church is crazy. We're also a mixture of, you're not just one thing, right? We're a mixture of these things. So that's your personality. Next, we need to talk on page 6. On page 6 and 7, you can read all about it, some of the strengths, some of the needs that go with it. Then we're on page 8 and 9. Let's talk about spiritual gifts. Okay, here's Paul's description of a spiritual gift from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants it to be. So here's what all that means when you boil it down. Number one, spiritual gifts are special abilities. They're not just talents, but they're God-given abilities that he's given to us that are distributed by the Holy Spirit. They're given by God. Again, they're not innate. You're not born with a spiritual gift. You're given a spiritual gift. And they're given to every believer. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Most of us have more than one. We function predominantly in one, perhaps, but there are others behind it. But we all have spiritual gifts according to God's design and grace. Okay, so it isn't earned. In fact, the name spiritual gift is a Greek word, charismata, and it means grace gift. So in other words, just like everything God does for us, he does it because he loves us, and we didn't earn it, but he just gives it to us. And so think of it this way. When the Holy Spirit came in, when you gave your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to live in you, the Spirit came in bringing a housewarming present. He brought a gift. Isn't that great? You know, you're trying to be a good host, and here he comes in with this gift. And so that spiritual gift he gives us to use for the common good. So that now that we come to a church, we have something to bring the church. So when we come into a church, we bring our own housewarming gift, and we come in with our spiritual gifts so that we might bring glory to God by serving others. That's how it works. And so the analogy that Paul used in this passage, and we talked about it last week, is that the church is like a body where Christ is the head and the rest of us are different parts of the body. All the parts are important. None of the parts are more important than others. At some points in time, we need the ear. Other points in time, we need the nose, and vice versa. And so none's more important than the others, just they're just different. They have different functions. And the idea is that because they're useful in different ways, as the mind or as the head tells the rest of the body to function, we all then function together properly and we have a healthy body. And so the body then, or the gifts work interdependently. Under Christ, as he directs, he gives us gifts and he tells us what to do and we do it. The gifts work diversely because we're all different. Fingers grab stuff, ears hear stuff, mouths say stuff, noses sniff stuff. And then the gifts work for the common good. And so the nose tells the rest of the body that mom burned the food again, and the rest of the body runs into the kitchen and grabs the fire extinguisher and puts it out, right? And so it all works together, and it works great when we all function together. So on page 8 and 9, what you have here is a spiritual gifts test. And so, again, here's your assignment this week. You're going to sit down in your thinking chair. Everybody needs a thinking chair. Do you have a thinking chair? Need a thinking chair. I have to share mine with my dog. But we like it. And so spend a few minutes in prayer, and then you go through and answer these questions as honestly as possible. And you'll discover as you go through it, you'll keep thinking, there's repeat questions, but you'll figure it out here in a bit. And so you'll go through, and then once you answer these questions, you transfer the questions onto page 10, onto the worksheet, and then you'll be able to add the columns once those are all listed there. So, for instance, if you're on page 8, first question, I like organizing services and events. Okay, so they don't give me an option there of zero. I would answer zero there. But that's not an option, or negative numbers are not an option. So I would put a one there, and I'd go back to page number 10, and then for question number one, I would put a one. Okay? And that's how you work, and you go through the whole thing, and then at the end, you'll add each row together. I said column before, but I meant row. You'll add each row together, and the four highest numbers will be your spiritual gift. The one you predominantly function in will be the highest, or you might have ties or whatever. But then you can go through, and starting on page 11, you can read about each spiritual gift and see what it's all about. You can see all the Bible passages, maybe not all of them, but most of the Bible passages where you will find that and discussion. And something very cool that we did, you'll look under each one and you'll see that there are some suggestions of where you possibly could serve. Some of the ministries that we have in our church where someone with this gift would be a real asset and could really make a difference. But don't feel like that's where you have to serve. Those are just suggestions. Those are just ideas to get your brain flowing behind those things. All right? Easy peasy. Are we good? So now we know our personality. We know our spiritual gifts. Now we come to a significant portion where we're going to talk about passion. That's on page 14. Passion is the God-given desire that compels us to make a difference. Okay, it's the God-given desire that compels us to make a difference in the world. Your passion is what gets you to use your gift. Like I said before, you got a great spiritual gift. Doesn't matter. In my opinion, God gave you that. You didn't do anything to earn it. So it just reminds me of God's graciousness. But if you've got a great spiritual gift and you use it, then you are an important asset to the kingdom of God. And so where are you going to use that gift? That's the question that passion answers. So you got your personality answers the question who. Who are you? What are you all about? Your spiritual gift answers the question what. Okay, what special abilities has God given me to use? Okay, when you know what that is, you know who you are, you know what gift you got. So the passion question answers where. Where do I use it? I know who I am. I know what my gift is, but where do I serve? Where can I make a difference? So take Paul, for instance. Paul the Apostle was a lion in his personality scoring. I didn't actually go through and answer the questions for him, but I guarantee you he was a lion, right? You've read him much, you know it. He's a lion. His gifting was high apostleship and teaching, right near each other. Apostle is a church planter. Teaching, you know, is a teacher. And so question is, where does a lion apostle teacher serve? Well, the answer to that question came on the Damascus Road when Jesus met him and knocked him off his horse and gave him his calling to ministry. And he says, I'm going to send you as an apostle to the Gentiles. And so Paul then became passionate about reaching Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus. So now he knows I'm a driver and I'm a church planter, and God wants me to go to the Gentiles. And so he begins planting churches in Ephesus and Galatia and Philippi and all of these other Gentile places because that's his passion. Now, James, on the other hand, we just studied the book of James together, remember? James also is a lion. James also is a teacher. He also has a gift of pastor. So he's not an apostle where he's going from place to place. He's more of a stay in one place kind of guy, right? But James is passionate about Jewish Christians. So he stays in Jerusalem. He pastors the church in Jerusalem. And then he writes letters because he stayed at home. Boring. His line was like mine, just kind of straight across. He didn't want to leave the house. And so he writes a letter to the Jewish Christian churches to encourage them. Okay? Very similar people, but what separates them is their passion. One's out and about, and one's at home holding down the fort. And so the passion answers the where question. And so, like I say, it's important to know who you are. It's important to know what special abilities God has given you, but the key is using them. So finding your passion helps you figure out what lights your fire. And when you're excited about ministry, then there's no stopping you. You're going to use your gift, right? And we don't have to call you on Saturday night and say, hey, are you going to be at church tomorrow? No, because you can't wait. You've been thinking about it all week because you're passionate about whatever. And so you can't wait to get there and serve God's people and minister in God's kingdom. So, page 14, this week, here's your assignment number 3. And you're like, man, so much homework. Well, this is good for you. You know? And it's not like algebra. You will use this again. We have a thing in our house. My wife is back in school, and she's doing algebra. And let's just face it, it's satanic. I mean, that's enough. It just makes her sad, which makes me sad. All right, so this week, page 14, sit down and answer those questions. Okay, but now I want you to look at me. This is important. I want you to answer those questions like there was nothing in the world that would stop you. Okay, so don't get all logical at this point and say, well, I would do X if I had more education. That's not the question. The question is, what would you do if nothing, if you knew you couldn't fail? So don't say, I would do Y if I had more money. That's not the question. Okay? We're trying to find out what God has placed in your heart to do. And then we'll figure out logistics later. Okay? But right now, what has God called you to do? What is your passion, that God-given desire that compels you to make a difference? That's what we're wanting an answer to. And so then finally, you're going to put it all together on page 15. This is the thing where it's the end of this exciting process. So let me take a second to remind you. Psalm 139 says, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So that's a description of you. You know, it's the old saying, God don't make junk, right? And that's true of you as well. He put you together just as he wants you to be. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're without errors in your life or anything like that. But the way he puts you together is just how he wants you to be. You have a great personality. You have God-given spiritual abilities, gifts. God made you passionate about something or someone. And so our equation looks like this. Speaking of math, personality plus spiritual gifts plus passion equals your purpose. Okay? So if you want to find your purpose, then you figure out how God made you. What personality did he give you? What spiritual gifts has he given you? What passion has he placed in your life? And the confluence of all of those things will show you your purpose, your reason for being here, what God wants you to do for his body and his church. And so we might add into that, you know, all of the other things we talked about, life experiences, wins and losses, and lessons you've learned from painful experiences. But when we put it all together, we have you, fearfully and wonderfully made, God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created for good works in Christ Jesus, ready to serve God by serving other people. So this week on page 15, you'll sit down during your quiet time and you'll put all these things together: your personality type, your spiritual gifts, your passion, and at that point, we're ready to go. Now at this point, we start praying, we start asking God, okay, Lord, now that I see it all out in front of me, now that I know all of this about me, God, where do you want me to serve? Where can I make the most contribution? How can I help the most people? You put me here for a reason. What is it? Show me the reason. Show me the place to get involved. And that's where we'll pick up next week. So, step three on growth track is called develop. And we're going to talk about finding out what it means to serve God and to serve God here at New Life, and how to strengthen our character and grow in the discipleship process and fulfill the potential that he's given us, how we can use what God's given us. Okay, that's next week in develop. And then finally, on step four, when that'll be the day we're having lunch together on the 14th, step four, we're going to find a ministry and plug in and get involved. So here's your action steps for this week. Do the personality test. Do the gift assessment. Do the worksheet, the passion worksheet. Write it all down in the putting it all together section. And then go back and review step two. Read all the scriptures. Read all the description of the personality types, the description of the gifts and all of that. And then come back with all of that stuff ready for step three next Sunday. Got it? That's your homework. And you don't want a demerit. You don't want to get on the chart. If you come with your homework done, you'll get a sticker. Actually, you won't. I just thought about that, giving everybody stickers. What a nightmare. Would you stand up? If you really want a sticker, I'll see what I can do. You got one. Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Listen, if you have any questions about any of this, the email address on your bulletin, info@newlifedenton.org, you can email that, or you can call the church number. Most of you in the church have my number and my email address. You can call those or call me there or email. This is the most important thing, I think, that you get a hold of this. I mean, this is what God made you for. And you can really add value to the lives of others all around you if you'll grasp all of this concept. So we're grateful that you're here today and grateful that you're working through this with us. And we're just going to pray right now that God brings it home. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for creating us, as Psalmist says, fearfully and wonderfully. Thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created for good works in you. Now we want to find out what those good works are. And so, Lord, as we go home and ponder these questions, as we kind of pull the back off of the watch and start looking at all of the gears and levers, I pray, Lord, that you'd make it very clear to us, that it would be a light bulb after light bulb going on. No, this is my personality. These are my spiritual gifts. This is what I'm passionate about. And, Lord, that the connection between those things would be obvious to us, that we would begin to know where you've called us to serve. So, Lord, that's our prayer. And I think that's the way you created us, that this thing works. So, Lord, I ask that you would just let it work. I pray that you would keep distractions, keep the enemy at bay this week. Give us some time, Lord, so that we can figure these important questions out. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for 20 years of ministry. I thank you for watching over us all of this time and protecting us from the dangers that are out there. And we're grateful, Lord, for what you've done. For everybody that's a member here, everybody that's ever visited here, everybody that's come through and supported, prayed for us, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We're looking forward to 20 more years plus of ministry. So God, as we go together this week, I'm asking, Lord, that you would, again, speak clearly to us, show us who you made us to be, so that we could be a part of the church the way you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well, thank you for being here. Don't forget, in 32 minutes, you're going to get an email with a secret code. And mess around with that and look at it and see. It's pretty cool. I hope you love it. It's going to be great. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace as you go. Thanks for being here. Come down front if we can minister to you. Let us pray for you. Have a great week.